Jamestown's new home for sports is ESPN Jamestown.
Welcome back to another edition of Movies here on ESPN Jamestown and NewsDakota.com. Thanks for joining us as we kick off another week and we bring in the great Warren Abrahamson sitting across the desk. How you doing, my friend?
I'm fantastic. I don't know about great. I prefer perfect, but you call me whatever you want to, Steve.
His Excellency, Warren Abrahamson.
Your Honor. I mean, I'm working on my judgeship and everything, so.
All right. Well, neither of us have gone to the theater in the last couple of weeks.
It's been a while. I mean, it's been crunch time. Usually around the station, summertime gets busy. Like, you've got games. We've got remotes. Like, we're all over the place.
Well, and I do want to see Dark Phoenix and Men in Black, but I will admit to you that the terrible reviews are making it less... Or making it easier
to not
go.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you. I try my best not to let negative reviews sway me going to a movie.
Yes.
But it makes it really easy to be like, I can wait for it. And I can wait till it comes out on DVD, or I can wait for this, but...
Or I'll go another time.
Yeah,
and then...
And then you just
don't go.
Yeah.
So the box office this weekend has Men in Black International at the top spot, $28.5 million, still well below its budget at $110 million. It is up to $102 worldwide. It made $73 at the foreign box office this week.
Or international, as you would say.
Yeah, so it's it's closing in on its budget of at least breaking even.
Yeah.
Which it should, because it's only like $7 million away. But a very, very bad opening weekend, despite the fact that it took the top spot.
Yeah.
For a movie of that caliber, or at least of I don't know if that caliber is the right word, but
well, in that vein, right? Because Men in Black is iconic. Like, yeah. Everybody knows it. It's the people in black suits that are protecting Earth, and there's what, three of them. Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones made those movies what they were.
And the first one's a classic.
First one is so good. It could stand alone. And then they had to ride the success of it. Second one wasn't as good. And third one was kind of like, did we need this?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, maybe it's part of that fizzle out. But at the same time, you got two new faces in there. You would hope that it'd be able to boot the franchise again. But, I mean, that's not showing very good signs.
No, I still really just wanted the 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover.
Yeah, me too.
That they were, apparently Sony was talking about at one point.
I mean, I don't know why you can't still do it.
Men in Black, 24 Jump Street.
Is that what it was?
No, I don't know.
It was something like that. 23 Jump Street. It was Men in Black, 22 Jump Street or something like that.
Yeah.
But
I would love to see that.
I mean, I think we need a third 22 Jump Street, personally. Like... The first and second one are hilarious.
Isn't it 21 Jump Street?
21 Jump Street, and then it was 22 Jump Street,
oh, okay,
right?
Because
the second one.
Yeah,
we so just need another. 23
we need,
Jump
we need
Street.
23 Jump Street.
But
there
come
we go.
On, I mean, it's begging to be made. Like, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill
well,
are just
you saw when the
iconic.
When the second one ended, they had all the movie posters for the, like, see, the future.
I mean, they could do it. They could do it. Yeah.
Anyway, Men in Black International, basically a bomb at the box office this weekend. It is getting critically panned to just 24% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Although the audience score is significantly higher. That's at 66%. Still not great.
See, and remember, these critics are judging a movie based on the acting, the directing, the visuals, the music. And people, the audience score, people who are just like, I like that movie. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed it, so.
Yeah.
That's why you don't go by reviews. You form your own opinion.
And the thing that we've always talked about with reviews is that they don't take into account...
Entertainment.
The entertainment value.
I feel like they don't. Like, even if they were entertained, they'll still give it a rotten score if it didn't meet what they think it should be a good movie.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see. I do want to see it.
And I do too, yeah.
There are, a few, like I said, the audience score is higher. There are a few positive reviews out there, but for the most part, it is getting panned. Moving down the list, Secret Life of Pets 2 in its second weekend dropped a spot to number 2, 23.8, which is not bad for a second weekend. Aladdin still in the top 5, 16.7. At number 3, Dark Phoenix falls to number 4 with a dismal $9 million.
That's its second weekend, too.
Yeah.
Man.
Ugh.
What a way to go out and end everything with Fox. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and we dove into it a little deep last week. If you missed it, you can go into our podcast page on newsdakota.com and you can find the conversation. But Warren and I really dove into what the future of the X-Men could look like in the MCU moving forward. But this was the end of the X-Men with Fox.
And just to hit on it a little bit more real quick, Steve, I think this helps Disney when it comes to rebooting this thing because you can't do worse. You know what I mean? Like, and Disney has only done well by our standards of Marvel superheroes and X. And now that they have X-Men, I only think that this helps their chances of making a good X-Men franchise introduction into the Marvel universe.
Absolutely. And I think we're not, and we didn't talk about this last week, but I don't think they're going to just be like, boom, here are the X-Men.
No, it'll be gradual.
It's going to be a trickle in effect.
Yes.
Say, oh, here's a reference to the X-Men. Now, oh, here is an X-Men. Right, here is Wolverine. Yep. They're just going to kind of, they're going to steer into it a little bit.
But it's going to be huge for us, but it's going to be gradual for them, right? Like, it'll be like, oh, there he is kind of thing. But for them, it'll be like, yes, this is the time that he is a part of this.
Yeah, there's going to be some references, I think, very soon.
For sure.
I honestly, and I said it last week, would not be shocked if there was not some sort of reference to the X-Men in Far From Home.
At least a name drop, or at least like a, there's a bunch of us out there.
Some sort of reference to the fact that they exist.
I can just see it like just being like, man, you know, the Avengers are great, but we've lost a lot of good ones or whatever. Be like, there's plenty more out there kind of thing, you know?
Rocket Man or Dark Phoenix is 4, Rocket Man is 5. And then Shaft opened up this weekend at number 6, $8.3 million for Shaft. And Warren, you noticed it as I brought up the Rotten Tomatoes page that there is a lot of rotten at the box office right now. You have Dark Phoenix at 23, Men in Black at 24, Secret Life of Pets at 57, The Dead Don't Die at 53, Shaft at 35. I mean, so it is.
It's not a good time. And the thing is, there may be people out there who enjoyed those movies. Again, because the critic score is down, doesn't mean that there's not good movies out there to see. You just said a couple of them. Rocket Man, I've heard, is very, very good. People would be entertained probably with The Life of Pets. And we look forward to this weekend because we've got some what will definitely be blockbusters opening up.
And we're going to get to that in just a second. We talked about this movie a little bit last week, and it continues to get some very good reviews. Late Night, starring Mindy Kaling and Emma Thompson, which is 80% fresh, certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes right now. It's not being wide release, but it is starting to trickle into some theaters as the weeks have gone on.
Yeah.
And I have honestly heard nothing but great things about this film.
I honestly, it's not even been on my radar. I have not seen anything about it. So
yeah, this is one that if it was at the Bison 6, I would be headed there.
I got you.
Because I definitely want to see that.
Emma Thompson, in her own right, is a goddess. Like, she's so good at every role she's played. And Mindy Kaling, we know her from The Office, but she's done many other, The Mindy Project. She's got a bunch of other stuff out there, too.
She's got her hands in a lot of different stuff. But all right, let's talk about what's opening up this weekend. We have Toy Story 4 and Child's Play as two of our wide releases this weekend.
How funny that two movies about toys going head-to-head this weekend.
With extremely different approaches to said toys.
Yeah, for sure.
If you have not seen the tomato meter yet for Toy Story 4, it is 100%, 99 reviews, and all of them have been fresh.
I have to point out as well, Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2 are both 100% fresh as well.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
I don't know about Toy Story 3. I think that one is a little down, like 97 or 98, maybe even lower. But, I mean, I'm there. This weekend, I'm there's no way I'm not going to this weekend.
Well, let's take a peek at some of the reviews since they're all fresh. Bill Gutekunst from the Arizona Republic wrote, "The Toy Story saga felt fully complete without it, which makes this movie a movie that doesn't really need to exist, but whose existence doesn't diminish the whole either."
So basically what they're saying is, well, it could have ended at 3. This one adding on to it doesn't take away from that.
Toy Story 4 delivers a cinematic grand slam, a 9 years later sequel that's wholly equal to the high expectations raised by the terrific trio that it follows. That's from Brian Lowry of CNN.com.
Wow.
Joey Magnuson from the Hollywood News. "You've still got a friend in them. Pixar's beaten the odds with Toy Story 4, finding a moving and wholly unexpected way to continue Woody and company's adventure."
I just don't know how they could have done it. Like, I'm still beside myself. No matter what they're saying, I'm still beside myself that they were able to create such a, according to these people, masterpiece based off of the fact that it should have ended at 3.
Dana Stevens from Slate, "It will send you out of the theater laughing, crying, and thinking all at once. An appropriate mix of responses for what I hope out of love will be our last minutes with a franchise that has given us so much."
Yeah.
Will it be the end?
It's got to be. Like, there's no... And the thing that the Disney Pixar people have said is these characters that we really love and want a sequel for, unless there's a story to tell with them, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they must have just sat down and been like, what if we did this? And they're like, okay, but we kind of ended it, right? But they're like, but, you know what I mean?
I think I need to see Toy Story 3 again, because I think I've only seen that once.
I saw it twice, and every time it breaks me down, because, and that's the thing with the Toy Story franchise, is everybody can relate to it, because it signifies growing up, and each film did its own individually, and apparently that's the same with this one. And the theme, from what I've read, is the theme is letting go. Like, accepting that it's okay to let things go.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, like, if that doesn't hit you right there, like, you know, everybody goes through that in their life. And that's what the Toy Story movies have done. That's why they've been so popular.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to get it there this week. Well, I probably won't get there this weekend. I'm going to be in Grand Forks for 4 days. So
we'll talk about it Monday.
I probably won't get there, but you, I'm sure, will get there this weekend. I'll so we'll talk there. About that. Do you have any interest in seeing Child's Play?
Only for Aubrey Plaza. Like, and I've had nightmares about Chucky before, and I've never even like actually seen the movie. So maybe not. But at the same time, I've had recurring nightmares about it, and I went and saw that twice in theaters. So...
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. There's other movies I'd see first.
Yeah. I used to be like really creeped out by talking dolls.
It doesn't surprise me.
Like that.
It's
like,
scary.
Yeah. When I was younger, like that was like a big creep out for me. And so part of me is interested in seeing it. Part of me is kind of like, I could do without it.
I mean, you got Mark Hamill as Chucky.
Yeah.
As the Chucky doll. And that guy can do such a creepy voice. The Joker for years. He's been iconic in that. So I don't know. I think Toy Story destroys the box office this weekend with like 95 plus. And then Child's Play can take in a nice like 20, 25.
Yeah, I'm thinking 100 is reachable this weekend for Toy Story 4.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I'll be there. We'll talk about it Monday, and I'll give you the lowdown on it.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to get there, but I just
no promises. I don't
think it's going to be possible. We are just a couple weeks away from Far From Home. I think
like 2 weeks away.
I think there's a lot of people excited for that.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm excited because I think we've let Endgame sit a little bit now, and it's kind of like we've all kind of molded over, like we've accepted what's happened now. And now we have to go back into that and just be like, open up the wound a little bit, right?
Because
like, judging by the trailers, that's kind of what we're going to get. It's like, hey, like, remember this happened, and now you have to worry, you know, Now what's Peter going to do, you know?
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about Far From Home as we get a little closer, but this has been another movie segment on ESPN Jamestown.